like they're polar opposites. When I use it well, but when I'm using it, when I don't know what to do and it's held back and it's inappropriate, it doesn't work very well. Which is basically the point that, you know, we have a habitual refuge. That your mind always questions, is always like saying, yeah, but is this true? Or on the other hand, it's a good one. I like on the other. Did that have a way of dressing or a quality? Did you have it? Got all these bags in. Pushing a wheelbarrow. It's nice to kind of physically, you know, embody them with a drawing or a writing or a movement, something like that. It's nice to do that because what it does is it helps you move it out of your mind where it will just go circling around and around. Yep. It really does help a lot. Is it out of judgment? Because when you see it in your mind, there is a tendency to either very be caught in pride or be caught in guilt or, you know, whatever. Does that make sense? And you actually just see it as a quality and how what some of its attributes are. Our strengths are our weaknesses. I don't know the Polish mudra. How have you existed all these years? Well, maybe at the end of this morning, I'm one of the few people that carry the lineage. Well, but you've forgotten it, so obviously the initiation didn't take.
That's one of my
fears. Those of you who... Those of you who haven't received it or may have forgotten it, you know, at the end of this part in the morning, I'll be so that initiation. It takes what about a minute, but it's the most powerful. Qualification means you have to be the third daughter of a Polish father. So. Very important to you. But I don't want to make you buy. There's one between my second sister and I that didn't make it. Linda's influence. And your friends, Rob McConnell and Karen Russell. And Harry Hagen and his new wife got married in Saskatchewan years ago. He's from Saskatchewan. On their cross-country trip. So Terry and Mala were traveling, doing a little traveling trip with these incredible telescopes, and a therapist for health physics, and has been teaching physics in high school. He retired this year. Wonderful sense of compassion, and has he done these with 64 hands or something, which I always wanted to be when I was a typist. He took a lot quicker. and incredibly skilled with his bodily. He was at a class like in activism, and it was profound. Like this, Paula, his partner, is involved, and he's Paula is also very skilled at movement. In fact, she does meditation and movement, working them together as well, and also an avid astronomer. So they're traveling around with 2-4 classes a day, which is like by the end of a long weekend, you're exhausted. You know, start at like, you know, 9 or 10 in the morning, and you go till 3 or 4 the next morning, which is really a lot. So I want them to come back and do a week or 10 days, but the same material. So we have like a chance to look at it. And Terry is talking about how we create a reality. And he used this analogy, which I just think is just so clear. So I'm going to repeat it. You know, sometimes when you see a film and with a car with tires or a safety, tire is turning, say it's going this way. It's turning this way. And the bolts are turning that way, right? The picture, the photographer, the camera, only takes a picture at such and such a time span. So the tire is making a revolution and it gets to there. And the first picture is taken with that. And the tire keeps turning and the next time it's there. And then the next time it's there. When the camera is taking the pictures, when then you run them all together, you see the speed of the photographer, the camera, how often the picture is taken. So it looks to you like it's going backward because it doesn't take it at a full revolution or in between each turn that you actually see on the film, there's a gap. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly in dreams. Some of you have done enough work with dreams that you actually are aware of a dream. You can maybe keep that awareness because when you start waking up from a dream, your conscious mind begins to take, there's an image and then a gap, and an image and then a gap, and an image and a gap. And as you're waking up, your mind creates the meaning in between them and makes it into a story. You see the movie A Beautiful Mind? Mm-hmm. You know, when he was talking to his girlfriend, soon to be wife, and she said, okay, make this out of this, and they're looking at the stars. And he says, okay, and he looks, he says, see, there's that. Every time he took certain points and found a meaning to it, it became true. You know that when you're in a crowd of people and you're sort of like, you know, ran to the supermarket and you got your fluffy slippers on and you haven't really brushed your teeth yet, and suddenly over by the meat counter you see this man that was this guy you used to have a crush on, and without even thinking your body goes into the meaning of that, and you pull your stomach in and you stand behind a box so that your fluffies aren't showing. And, you know, you kind of... And then he turns around and it isn't him. And then the whole movie just pulls and it's gone. So 2 hours later, you probably don't even remember. You know how that happens? Have you ever had that happen, where you thought you were seeing one thing and then it wasn't, and it's like... What you're seeing is exactly what I'm talking about, how we create a meaning. Because our mind only takes pictures so many times. We link them together. Perception is linked to whatever the past. My sister, she was prone occasionally to what they call paranoid schizophrenia. She'd go in and out of it for about 13 years. And one time she was going into it and I went to spend time with her. I was really scared and really freaked out, and when she would do that, the color yellow was dangerous to her. And she lived in it. I was really freaking and not sleeping, and so I took her out on the front porch because it was spring. You know, spring, right? Yeah, the smell of spring. That's what she meant. Who's right? Robert Thurman, his son, Chuchita, me. I have my preferences, and they change. Depending if Robert Thurman was sitting here, it would be totally different. as well, there'd be more people, but no. But you understand what I'm saying here. This meaning, which we continuously project into by coloring our perception with it, is continuously happening. That's not a problem. The problem is that we actually believe it. Very nice reading, and not only that, we cling to it. It was very nice reading the Up Here magazine in the plane coming. Great magazine. Mm-hmm. Beautiful magazine. They had these neat little articles about the fact that the magnetic pole, which moves 10 kilometers a year, wasn't that it? 10 mm-hmm. kilometers a year, has now moved out of Canadian territory. Also, lately they've discovered that it's sped up, it's moving 40 kilometers. Wasn't it the magnetic poles shifting that caused... What was it I studied in geology once? Do you remember that? Pole reversal or something in the whole planet? Wasn't that what the... No, it's happened twice. Yeah, the tsunami, yeah, for 100 days, the waves from the tsunami will be still ringing the earth. Isn't that interesting? Because that's not my perception. Yeah, I know about the tectonic plates. You know, I live in Alberta right next to Rockies. I can see the shark side of that other one while this side goes underneath it. I mean, you know, but I don't really know that. Is that true? I experience what I know. I don't experience. I experience what I know, and what I know depends on the passions that are running at the moment. Our main, what could I call them, qualities that run our passions. In Buddhism, they name them after the four elements: earth, water, fire, and air. Earth creates two kind of passions: passion for gain. Water has two passions. You know, the power of water is cohesion, so that if you have a little drop of liquid on your thumb, you can see it becoming a drop and drop a drop. Then I put it next to the rim of the water, forms a globe quite often, especially you see it in mercury, that is fluidity. Drops of rain, hail. There's this kind of quality of always trying to hold within a system. There's surface tension on water. Well, there's no air. The quality of water is the quality of trying to talk happiness, don't we? If you're driving down the side roads outside of Didsbury, you know, in your new Mercedes Benz with cruise control, the player's got its 6 CDs in it and it's doing programs to play the what I'm saying, which is what we like to do in our life, isn't it? In our own little Mercedes Benz, you know, don't we? We have our favorite songs we like to play. Whether it's Someday or My Prince Will Come is, well, no matter what you say, I'll win, or whatever it is. We all have our favorite little environment control and songs that go with it, and good things to sit that nourish that. And it's just great. You're just driving along, nobody on the road, and you're just like really getting off on it. You got your Starbucks, you got your Wednesday, all the songs. Ain't nobody in front of you, and you know exactly where you're going, and you know what you're going to see on the way, and then this tractor pulls on. Being able to be in control, I know where I'm going, I'm, you know, mantra. Oh, I know where I'm going. 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 And then the man until you get a new one. Oh, no matter where I'm going. So you notice the Buddha said interrupted desire creates aggression. When you have this sense of you know how things are going and you feel comfortable, you're happy. You're habituated to the way you like it. The endorphins are flowing. And then something interrupts, almost always. Either against yourself or somebody else. But it's like, boom. True? The phone rings. Yeah, it's very fast. It's like the adrenaline. I'm very quick, habitual response. I mean, not habitual, but what do you call it? You react, like a knee-jerk reaction, what's that called?
Reflex
response. When there is a threat, that is to say, something breaks what you think is happening. And the immediate reflex is to go into battle mode. It's neat to know that, eh? That's the second, that's when with water. Fire is basically being totally admired and loved. Or being dumped. Air doesn't really care whether you love them. Air could get care less whether it gets what it wants. It gets to be habitual, doesn't particularly like staying in one place. Air is not really concerned with safety. Air is concerned with being in control, making everything move according to its responsibility. Or obscurity. Most terrifying thing is to not be recognized. For air. So, powerless. Then the fear starts and the meal. I promise never to do that. Meals for complete with this tendency to make a meaning over everything and then make that magic bubble the truth called ignorance. Or ignorance, willful or unwillful ignorance, actually. Stability. Are they attributes? Those five elements, our whole bodies are made of that. And a lot of the teachings of Buddhism, eventually you get to the point where you're learning two things. You're learning about the container and the contained. And the relationship. So long as you're moved by what they call the eight worldly dharmas, which is what I've just given you, possibility or ignorance, then so long as you're moved by them without consciousness, you can't decide, you can't see it just as energy, just watching the different emotions or feelings or energy or views rising, and you can't just see them as energy, you immediately jump onto them, and they're pulling you in a habitual direction. When you actually can just see them as energy and keep your focus grounded, it's like you have an anchor in the storm. Does that make sense? You can watch them, you can watch these emotions, these desires, these passions rise and dissolve. And if you don't do that, you're going to be continuously blown around by them, which is called becoming in Buddhism. Is that clear? So in part of becoming is that ignorance of not realizing that whatever view I have is based on my lack of seeing the meanings that caused me to make up the story, to attach to the movie, that I not see how passion and perception linked together are essentially empty of meaning, or that is to say, they don't have one fixed meaning. is his father. And you understand that. You understand the kind of what compassion really is. Having the space to hear. How can we be compassionate? Do it with yourself. You can do it with anybody. Why you get pissed off with somebody else is because they're evoking something in you. You don't want to listen to. Thank you very much. I've got enough on my plate. Fuck off. Isn't that true? You scare me when you talk like that. Why do I scare you? Well, because I don't want to deal with the mess. I am. Know how we always try to make other people responsible for our states? Even if we divide ourselves in two and one part of you makes the other part responsible. Up on you go, on the go, up on you go. But the real truth is that if you have the power to be conscious, you have the power to learn. The power to learn what you're actually responsible for. And what you're not. Therefore you have the power to make choices. Once you know that a stone falls when you let go of it and there is this law called gravity, you quit dropping stones over your toe. Or you don't because you really love the pain. But it's a choice then. You see, it's a conscious state. Then you get to see the result of that. You know, you can't buy shoes because your feet have swollen so much. Oh, that's nice. Is this clear? So the sense of self essentially is something that comes into being and passes away every time there's a couple of dots of the film that you put together with meaning. You can realize that the ignorance is like all possibility. Then you can put together with meaning, oh, I see that this is arising. Why is it arising? Because I would prefer to see it this way. Oh, good. Is it? It is kindness, not only to myself, but to all me. Maybe. Try it and see. And I trust God. Self is continuously changing. Depending on the movie you believe, why you believe it, and whether you're capable of being conscious of it as a movie. Karma. A karma that happened like 10 years ago? Maybe. Because there's still that story hanging on. My mind, your body, the body of the interrelation between the container and the contained. Do you understand what I mean by that? There's a relationship between the container and the contained, the content of it. Is that good? Anybody have any questions, ask you, comments, or complaints about that? Yeah, basically. It is non-physical and it's non-physical. It has an effect. It's closest to the wind. It's like, you know that if somebody comes in the room and they're angry, you know immediately they're angry. Some part of you knows that. You can feel it, feel an energy, a particular one, right? You know that if somebody's in love, you sort of feel a little giddy yourself. Or you wish they'd go away because you're having trouble focusing. You know that, don't you? You know those things. Do you know those things? Yeah, that's called the speech body. According to the Buddha, it extends 3,500 miles.
Oh. Hey,
you.
3,300
miles? 500. That's more or less translating the in term of the time into North American East. That's a fair distance, which is why prayer works. Which body is that which communicates? Motive.
But you don't have things.
You don't have to say. The choices that we make are the number one choice that you need to make is understanding that concept. In order to manifest, it has to ride wind. This is this and that is that. it does not create the meaning. It has the power to move and consciousness. Where you put your focus is how the wings will move. One way that we put our focus is habitual. That in like and dislike. Change your attitude toward like and dislike. Yourself changes more profoundly than probably any. Change yourself, your habits of yourself, by a very powerful will. At some time or other, you're going to fall into a won't, and all your vows are going to change. AA works because people start by saying, I am an alcoholic. They start by naming their usual refuge. And then they start trying to develop a refuge that's different than that, without negating that one. It's not that you negate anything. You just say, okay, I'm a little bit overdoing that habit. What's another one I could develop? Me, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, I have all this sadness. What's another thing I could create? Okay, how about an interest in my toes? Because then you are riding the wind. Not only that, you're riding the winds and able to tack when they're blowing you this way. You say, yeah, but I'd actually like to go this way. You can use your sail. So what does it what happens when your sense of your own control is interfered with is immediately there's this desire, this adrenaline, this sharpening of focus. Is that true? You try to figure out what to do. First thing you could do is like say, well, anything's possible. We're all going to die, you know that. Pole could be shifting as we speak. Here is this, the physical form, body, the contained is consciousness, and the play between the two would be what they in the Abhidhamma they call rupa, the formation, citta, the contained, and the play between the two they call cetasika. What do you put a tin? What do you put in a bowl? Tell me. Just anything. Right. So which one is the container and which is the contained? The orange or the bowl?
The bowl is the container.
Like, yeah. Your bowl. That's pretty straightforward then. Try to understand it with your intelligence. Try to understand it with your experience. And then name your experience. I mean, that's what you do. You're a writer. So. Questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Power. Power. And obscurity. There are people who are more hungry for power than anything else. Mm-hmm. Like me. Like you. All of us have every one of those. It's whether or not we admit it. Yeah, and we do tend to like favor one more than the other. Yeah, I like to do how I have suffered quite well. I mean, I have gotten over most of that.
So that
it's because all my friends got so fucking bored with me, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, only people that were interested in me then were the people who wanted to tell me how they suffered and were just waiting for me to shut up. I got bored with them, frankly. No, it's more the water. How dare, you know, I had everything going my way and then look what happened. But it's like just a sense of quitting. Dissatisfaction. It's sort of like a sense of quitting. It's like it's our excuse for quitting. Rather than, oh geez, I'm glad to know that's not refuge. right? Like, really, everything that doesn't work is something you learn. It's not a disaster. Damn, I hated that. I mean, I did it well. I still do Oscar-winning performances on occasion, but usually when there's no crowd present, so you're safe. That's a, you know, like every one of them. We do all of them. Trying to be safe is like probably number one. How we all go titchika-titchika about global warming, or, you know, how many damn people there are because we're so successful. What's happening to wildlife centers or trees or, you know? We all go, oh, don't we? Or we make up a theory about it, like, well, it's okay because God created oil, and if we use it all up, he'll just create more. Yeah? I'm okay because I'm safe. Although some people think being good is a lot of fun. Because they get all the chocolate chip cookies. You know? Interrupted desire creates aggression. That's the water part. When you have one element, you have all of them. All of them are present. None of the elements appear individually. One will be predominant, but others will be triggering. The Buddha talked about them like a rainbow, where you can say, oh, there's the red, or there's the yellow, or there's the orange, you know, the green, the blue, and the purple. But you can't separate them because it's not a rainbow anymore. It's light manifesting, consciousness manifesting by going through a prism, by going into the container and how that manifests, that interrelation between consciousness and thinking. Which one is the self? Like, they're all playing, aren't they? And which one do we like? Which is our favorite movie? And which ones do we like to practice ignorance with? And where are we willing to bring in possibility? On the other hand, somebody, this Lama was giving a talk in Calgary, you know, I was born and raised in Calgary. And I spent most of my summers on farms or ranches with my cousins and stuff. Sleeping in haylofts and, you know, listening to owls and lying in the fields, especially in hailstorms. That's really who is sitting here. I mean, I know I swear well and put on a show, but really, that's who I am. It's just a country hick, really. So I know a lot of farmers. I know that whole kind of quality of mind pretty well, and I know how unfarmer they really are. Profound their faith and interest is in the world, because otherwise, why would anybody be a farmer if they didn't believe in possibilities in Alberta? Oh, this year it's a drought. Oh, this year it's a drought. Oh, this year. Oh, my God, it hasn't stopped yet. So I figured there'd be, I went to the talk and I thought it was really going to be interesting because he was talking about, you know, karma and stuff like that. And I was thinking, there's probably going to be a few farmers there and I could hardly wait to hear the question. He gave a really beautiful talk. It was really beautiful. Then afterwards, you know, questions. And there's this one farmer there, this cowboy hat. It was like, you know, his arm. Farmers had an interesting talk. And he's saying, okay, he says, okay, I just have one question for you. It's just this, you know, like, you're saying you know, whatever is the habit, whatever it is the energy, is what keeps going through death and birth and death and birth. It's like a river, you know? Sometimes it goes underground. It's changing all the time and all of the environment, you know? It's not the same river. Sometimes somebody dams it up, somebody just, you know, takes pails of water out, sometimes people dump things in it, right? So it's continuously in the process, it's continuously changing. So he's saying to me, so he's saying to the teacher, so what I just don't understand is, if that's true, then how come they're sending so many more humans on this planet now than there were? Like, you know, like there's so many. How can there be? Wouldn't there just be basically the same number? Which I, you know, is that just beautiful? I just love that question. And the Lama's sitting there and he's looking at him, and then he sort of waves his hand like this. And I swear, you could see suddenly the heavens open up behind him, and he said, well, maybe you've heard about the computers and the video games. His endless space, you know, at some planet somewhere, some being saying, hey, yo, they got TV there, let's go! Possibilities. You know, when you live in an island, you tend not to think about what else there is, and this planet is an island, and there's continuous changes in any island, aren't there? Like the Eight Poles. Being caught in one meaning does not do credit to the profound vastness of your consciousness. Mind, to have the movie playing and to enjoy it, but to actually believe it as more than a movie limits and any last questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Yeah, but we have to turn the tape recorder off because this has to be a secret.
Oh,
yeah, this is the lineage holder in front of me. And it turned off. So it's nice to actually know that, you know, and to watch yourself decide. It doesn't matter what other people's options are. Like I was saying, it isn't so much that I have to worry about. It is for me a refuge that gives me confidence. Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Therefore, because refuge is actually what I'm talking about today, depending on your perception, your refuge can change. Like that. The moment you get refuge out of being confident, the next moment you get refuge out of doubting yourself. That's very interesting. We're actually honest about this. We're always taking refuge. But most of the time we're unconscious of taking refuge because it's habitual. It gets to be a sort of a superstitious thing. Is that true? We're very conscious of it, but maybe we don't really trust it enough to also let go of it. Because we're very conscious and it feels right, we kind of keep hanging on. We don't let all possibilities manifest. We go from refuge to refuge during the day. It's like there are all these different characters, a la Jenny. You know, vulnerable, aware, mindful, vulnerable, mindful, you know, all the different ones. And we bounce from one to the other, to the other, to the other. Because we kind of do that, don't we? I mean, we're sort of like going somewhere, we're going to the end of the day, or we're going to a TV program, or we're going to when the kids are in bed, or we're going to... Is that true? There is a quality. So if you're always traveling, when do you get to be where you are? Because habit and like and dislike are so strong, it's very hard to break the habit of what we always do, whatever it is. A sense of apprehension, you know, where are the locks? You know, a sense of that. I mean, just looking directly at it and watching that and thinking, okay, what is that feeling in my being? What is the motive? What is the passion that causes that perception to arise? Does this movie play quite a lot with me, you know? But to actually look at the motives that we go around during the day means that we can stop sort of stumbling into one and then reacting by jumping into the next and then stumbling into the next. So you're actually, instead of just making a round day after day in the same ground, you start taking those energy, those power blocks, those power bars, and creating them like bars, but you make a ladder out of them. Not going to change the system. That's how we're made. Passion and perception are linked. But if you realize that they're not fixed in one, that you have a choice about like and dislike, you suddenly realize, well, I have the power to change my passion or my perception. Is that true? You have the power to change your passion and your perception. You don't think you're rushed. Then you can see your passion to get something and say, well, maybe I want to get the moment. A couple of questioning looks. Do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints here? It isn't anything except the adrenaline that's released when you don't do dishes the way you are. Why did the adrenaline arise? Because when we repeat an action the way we've done it before, differently we get what? Like, yeah, because we're addicted to habit. Two on red alert. How you use that is up to you. What it really does is causes you to have better focus. So that you're going along fine, you don't have to figure everything out for the first time. You're crossing the street and then you hear a motor. You cross that street, jaywalk across that street 1,000 times. It's just down the block from where you live. There's no problem with that. So you're just sort of going, sort of quickly looked, but not really, because you already know there's no traffic. You're about a third of the way into the street and suddenly you hear somebody's motor screeching on the brakes and you go, and you back up. Right? It gives you focus. What do you want to do with that focus? Anger and hatred both do the same thing. They give you great focus, but they tend to grasp at the focus. So, I and that. With anger, you grasp at the focus and then you go through all the reasons why that person is not actually a person. There's some kind of lower cat, which is how we use propaganda for wars. Don't we? All wars. You just dismiss the qualities that don't agree with your lessening of them as important. Or when you have done something yourself that you don't feel comfortable about. I have a friend who, you know, about twice a month says to me on the phone, well, everybody does it. Meaning, I feel really shitty about the way I acted. But then, everybody does it. That's why I used to feel quite comfortable shoplifting. First, I just did it anywhere. But you know, when you live sort of from hand to garbage can, sleep on the streets a bit, then you kind of like upgrade every once in a while from garbage cans, especially if you manage to have a shower and don't get... So then after a while I felt guilty because, you know, I noticed that the families were running some of the stores. So of course I couldn't do that, but then I started stealing from, you know, large department stores. Because they're not really people. Yeah. Everybody does it, or they're not really people, like somehow giving a qualification that makes it all right. But it wasn't all right, and it caused me a lot of pain that I was so, you know, willing to prove my lack of trustworthiness. And the more I did that, the more my sense of confidence deteriorated. And the more my sense of confidence deteriorated, the more I had to find proof for that being true. Like round and round and round. But rather than just looking at that and saying, I'm not everybody. I'm me. How does it feel when I do this? You know, that was like a whole other thing. You actually watch the character rather than try to adjust it according to your habits is hard to do. Because the first reaction is adrenaline, and adrenaline fixates on a point. It's evidence, right? If it's going to be anger. If it's going to be fear, there is like fixating on the point and a sense of no way to perceive what to do with it, a sense of being lost in it. So the sense of self disappears, right? With fear. You lose space, don't you, with fear? You lose space, basically.
Well, in my body.
Even in your body.
Like, well, it feels like I got a beak. So for me, fear
does. It takes almost all your space. And there's this feeling of like being short of breath, not, oh my God. And so what you do with that kind of fear is you change your focus. You let go of the fear, a sense of fear being this thing, and you say, oh, and what I was saying to someone earlier, what the best way I know to do that, loosen your jaw, put your, just open it slightly, don't do any big thing, just slightly open it, let your tongue loose. You focus on one toe, big toe of the right foot, and try to move it a direction you've never moved it before, as if you really cared whether you could. Focus. The passion changes. Change the passion, the focus changes. Change either one. So you have power over focus. So if I have a passion for being liked, and then somebody doesn't like me, then I have the possibility of really liking the fact that some people can dislike me, however charming I may be. Because I do know that me getting what I want doesn't satisfy me. Me giving to somebody else what they want gives me pleasure for years. Giving something to somebody that is a friend of yours, that was just maybe a very small thing or a big thing, it doesn't matter, but it just totally, you saw their joy. And have you ever bought something for yourself that gave you a lot of joy when you bought it? 5 years later, which one gave you more joy? Maybe about the same, maybe not. Anything you get for yourself. Isn't that true? Really looking at the passion and understanding, yeah, I really wanted it, but it's not there. Okay, what can I give to them? Still selfish motivation, but it's for the sake of self. Not for clinging to the self who wants. It's for the overall all well-being of one's state. Right? It's like emotional health. altruism is essentially emotionally healthy. I'm not saying continuously giving away everything, because you have to treat yourself. You know, we always have to start by ourselves. I cannot do for somebody else what I can't do for myself. When you actually practice liking something in what you usually dislike, or disliking something in what you usually like, you're actually teaching yourself. And just in little playful things, don't try it with the big things first, Polly. Oh, I like keeping the speed limit. No! Don't do that. But in the little ones, hang on just a second. If you do it with the little ones, you get past that adrenaline rush of breaking your habits. Just in ordinary practice. You also teach yourself not to be so moved by the ordinary, by the adrenaline rushes when you do a big change, so that you don't get fixated by the fear that arises. Is that good? Okay. First you, and then you. Yeah. Did you have a question there? Who cares? You want to shift it faster, sit in it with your focus somewhere else in your body, a neutral point. Yeah, don't go there. Don't go there, go to a neutral point that you don't have any emotion concerned with. That way you're not looking at it and your projections aren't causing it to linger longer. So that you're opening, you're focusing on spaciousness because you're on a separate space. Your jaw is loosened a little bit, so you're not caught with that. And you just feel the energy shift like that. Maybe it comes and goes a few waves, but it's not important. Mm-hmm. I was saying earlier, it's like you can focus on the waves, and then slowly they will start to calm. Or you can go into the calm underneath the waves and let the waves take care of themselves. So your focus keeps being interesting. You're good at the big toe, try the little toe. Then the little toe on the other foot. When you're good at all the four toes, these two and these two, then try for the middle one, because it's impossible to move the middle one without moving all the others. But your brain doesn't ever believe that. So you can go, oh, really? The other ones move, oh, damn. So that there's like interest in another focus. You have to actually pretend you care in the beginning. But it doesn't take long, does it? You could feel the shift in your energy. It's much faster if you focus on your toes and are moving them. Physiologically, also. Changes the blood flow from the brain. Work. The first time I said there, that was not as strong as the second time. The speech body extends 3,500 miles. How could I not feel what you're doing with your... The speech body of your being vibrates with the speech body of everybody, every other being within 3,000. It really doesn't matter whose fear it is. It matters whether you're the one atom that's going to give it ground. It really doesn't matter whose emotion it is. Yeah, we learn emotional patterns from, you know, our surroundings. It doesn't mean we have to habituate them. We can always change either the passion or the perception. Change the passion by practicing. Practice that. See, the idea is practice. What you practice reduces your habitual response to a new behavior. These are much better things to be busy about than stumbling from refuge to refuge, I think. You know, they have a little more pavoom to them. Is that a word? It is now. There is that problem of feeling discomfort about change, or feeling discomfort. By doing that a lot of our life, we have this sense of who we are when you act a certain way. So when you start exploring it or acting differently, especially if there's a marked difference, like a sudden state of awareness or something, clarity. Oh my God, what was that? Because a sense of self that is basically not used to not being there and still have the show going on. No director, but the show still continues. How could this be? It's like the threat of losing your career, you know, your identity. Your identity is gone just for a moment. But your identity is going all the time, but we only watch the parts of the movie that we like to see. How's that? Did you know that most of the time you're not here? I can't remember. Insight practice that there is to do is a very interesting one. It's basically that once you have some sense of calm abiding, minimal, doesn't need to be, you're focusing on the breath, you're watching the breath, thinking rising on the in-breath. And whenever a thought, you find yourself caught up in a thought, you just become conscious of the thought without interfering with it. And the thought will go to an end, because we always have an end involved in our movies. And it gets to the end, and immediately you ask yourself, what was the thought just before the end scene? And then what was the thought just before that? You go back four thoughts, which is much easier to explain than it is to actually do. Because every time you go back one, the mind wants to take off on another branch. Because that one's come to its end, so you want to do an alternative ending, you know? So you try, you get so that you can actually go back one. As if you can't take it back, then you drop it, and you keep just doing the calm abiding, and then another thought will come, and when you become conscious of it, you just watch it to its end. And then you go back four thoughts. One of those times, you will actually manage to do it, as long as you don't beat yourself or, you know, do any judgment on it. You just keep your interest. Can I do this? Go back four thoughts, and you count them, one, two, three, four. And then when you've got those, then you go forward those four thoughts, four, three, two, one, and that's hard too, but not as hard as the first one. And then you go one, two, three, four, four, three, two, one, two, three, four, three, two, one, three or four times, until you can actually hold each little image, picture. I'm talking about pictures here. Each picture, and how each picture, passion and perception. And then when you can hold each picture and see it fairly clearly, the idea, mental idea or a picture, mental picture are both quite interchangeable. Can be, you know, any way your thought. Some people are more visual, some people, you know, whatever. Doesn't really matter. Can be a felt sense, anything, emotion. And then what you do is you look, okay, what was the emotion? What was the motive? What was the quality of the passion between four and three? What was the quality of the emotion, the passion between three and two? Two and one. And that's getting into very subtle areas. So because you'll find that when you're doing that, the mind will keep wanting to change it. And it is a brilliant way to teach yourself to watch how we create meaning. Based on what we see interrelating with what we have known from the past and projecting the next step. Right? Like you did with the... Thing. To actually understand that we're doing that all the time. And then you get some idea what they're talking about in the East when they say the sense of self or the conscious mind is like a monkey riding on an elephant. And the monkey's bouncing around, and sometimes it's bouncing looking backward, and sometimes it's looking forward, and every time it's looking it has the right view. And thinks it's the power that gives it such a high view. But really, it's the elephant. And to actually wonder, when I'm not there, who's there? As you know, that most of your life, if you pay attention and do these kinds of practices, you're not there. Who you think of as I, it's not there. And yet there's still existence. So they say in Buddhism, if there is no subject-object duality, who are you? If you're not relating the meaning between subject-object, who are you? What is your mind before your face before you were born? It's a beautiful question. Life is so short. Why don't I ask one that really is quite interesting? That's more important than who did what to whom, isn't it? Who is who and who is whom? When who and whom aren't there. This is nice. And why we get bored with meditation and stuff is because we'd prefer, we're sort of getting addicted back into our own movies. Aren't we? We keep thinking of, well, yeah, but there's important things I should be doing, subject object. So the monkey starts forgetting that it's riding on an elephant. There's no question about the elephant. That's nice, isn't it, to actually look at this? I think it's nice. Some people it scares the heaven, hell, and earth out of, but for me, I think this is, because it's been working really well for a fairly long time. No matter what I've thought, and I've thought of, destroying and aggrandizing and all kinds of things with it. So obviously, my questions or my views have some ability in terms of focus and passion. But the monkey is still riding on an elephant. So my question about, well, what's the elephant? I doubt that it's going to change anything radically or, call down the wrath of some unknown gods on my eardrums or anything, Is this interesting to you? Good. Addiction to habit. Because we have all these different refuges that we start to ricochet between during our day, don't we? We have standard ones that we like a lot, and we have some less conscious ones that we occasionally fall into, don't we? So we have all these different roles of refuge. Our good qualities, our bad qualities, our secret qualities, our neutral qualities, right? Our relationship to our sibs, our family, our relationship, right? They're all slightly have their own subject-object duality.